The following program was produced by an independent community producer. The opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of the ECAT staff or board of directors.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is what the guy said it is. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. It's part of my name. The middle part, Ron Van Dam, is my name. It's surrounded by the on one side and show on the other, but that's a different show. That's confusing, isn't it? Anyway, hi, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here. I come into the studio once a week to do the visual version of what I do on the radio every weekday, and that's why I'm here. Does it make any sense to do a radio show and monologue sitting in front of a camera and doing nothing but moving your lips? Otherwise, there's really no point to it. No, it doesn't make any sense. But nonetheless, if you give me a carrot, I'll eat it as long as the carrot is fresh and good. So far, it's fresh and good. I've wasted about a minute of your time already, so let's make it 30 minutes. Why not? You already ruined the whole half hour, so let's do something. When I walked into the studio today, I said to myself, you know, I have no idea what I'm going to talk about for half an hour on this particular program today. I had no concept whatsoever. I usually don't. I usually have no idea what I'm going to talk about. I'm kind of like, oh, I don't know, like a priest who's unprepared. You know, I've always wanted to be a man of the cloth. I don't know really exactly what that meant either. I wanted to have a pulpit, you know, and I like the idea of a religious congregation sitting in front of you because they have to show up no matter how good you are. You know, it's like, we're going to church today. But I don't like the reverend. Yeah, but we gotta go. It's part of the deal. Yeah, but he doesn't say anything that makes sense. Hey, he's kind of like that Van Damme on that show, on that television thing. But I always wanted to do that. I mean, not that there would be any religious connection to what I've been talking about, but I would always love to stand in front of a pulpit where people basically don't leave. They just don't. I want to do a stand-up comedy routine on an airplane on a long flight from Boston to Los Angeles. They can't leave. Where are they going to go? I love that kind of audience. I love them. The funny thing about doing stand-up, I did stand-up for about 6 years, so long ago that most of you probably weren't born yet. Well, not all of you. Some of you weren't born. And I did stand up in the area, in the Boston area, and I did a little bit in New York previous to that, but not much. Most of it was in this Boston area thing. And I would stand up and do the routine. Now I want to do sit-down comedy, and that's what I'm doing. I'm sitting down. I'm doing the same thing, but I'm sitting down. Standing up is a whole different kind of routine. Sitting down, eh. So I did stand-up comedy around here. And the only interesting thing about that was that when I walked onto the stage or platform, whatever it was, I would walk out and people would applaud, and I hadn't done anything yet. And I thought, that is really the opposite of what's normal. Because technically, I'd be walking out on stage, they'd applaud, yay, and now here's Ron Van Dam. Oh, yay, yay. And they'd applaud and hoot and howl. I hadn't done anything. All I did was walk out on the stage. Anybody can do that. Maybe I walked out on the stage really well. Maybe I did that really well. Hey, look at that guy. I don't know what he does, but look at him walk on a stage. Look at him walk out on a stage. He's fantastic at doing that. The way he puts one foot in front of the other and walks up to that. Whoa, he's good at that. And then I'd start doing my bit, and on a bad night, they would laugh just mildly, and so it was the opposite. It's like, when I walked out, I wasn't doing anything. And then when I started doing it, then it wasn't worth walking out for. It should be the other way around. Now, here's Ron Van Dam. Well, let's not applaud. Let's just see how good he is. Don't give him applause. He hasn't done anything. And then I would do a few things for my, you know, the bit. And then they would go, okay. That's the way it should be. You don't give all the applause first. Then I do the thing and they go, oh, we shouldn't have applauded when he walked out. That was a mistake. Oh, my God. What did we do? Some nights the stand-up comedy was rewarding. It was like, oh, wow, that's like really nice. Other nights it was, I can't live any longer like this. It's a very interesting thing. Some of my friends, the comedy writer and announcer on my radio show, John Shanahan, he used to do stand-up as well. It takes a certain kind of person, I won't say with balls because that's kind of not right to say publicly, but with guts, you know, it's a gut thing. It's like, I don't know if they're funny or not, but they're standing in front of a lot of people putting themselves on the line just by saying things. That's a lot. So I did that for a while and decided that's enough of that. And I didn't do that anymore after that. Anyway, there's a total eclipse coming up in April. I don't remember which day. It's the first week of April somewhere. And it's a total eclipse of the sun. And as you know, that was the lyrics of a song. And I think it was it Pink Floyd? I don't know. I think so. Anyway, if you live in the Boston area where you're probably watching this show, and really nothing's going to happen. Besides, it's always overcast here anyway. This is like Seattle recently. But there's not going to be a total eclipse of the sun here. The pinpoint of the country that's going to have the most total eclipse, where actually in the afternoon, it'll look like nighttime. Street lights will come on, that kind of thing. It'll be like really dark outside. And that's the excitement of this. Because the moon is totally blocking the sun. Okay, but you have to have it from a certain perspective. It's not all in one place, you scientific idiot. So the ideal place in the country is, I think, somewhere in the Houston area or something. I'm not sure about that, but the eclipse line goes through Texas. But the height of the eclipse would be, get this, Arkansas. What? Yeah, Arkansas. Alabama, Arkansas, that kind of thing. All right, that should be interesting. So it's not like I'm going to get on a bus and go watch it there. I'm not standing out in the middle of a cornfield. then it gets dark and I go home. I mean, it's like, what's the point of that? This doesn't happen very often, so it's a big deal. But at the same time, who cares? It's just one big gigantic shadow is really all that's happening. It's not like, oh my God, this is like amazing. It doesn't mean anything. It's not like, oh, it's a total eclipse of the sun, but just here. Maybe Jesus is coming now. That's not now. I don't think Jesus sneaks in when it's dark outside. I don't think it works like that. I don't know, but I don't think it does. Anyway. That's a big event if you feel like going down there and watching that thing. As I get older, I've realized that it's time for me to retire. Not yet, but pretty soon. But not to stop doing what I do, but to mentally retire. And that's something you can do at any age, but I don't think you should do it until you're pretty much, you know, my age or a little bit older. Mental retirement doesn't require you to stop working. All mental retirement really is just saying to yourself, "I don't care anymore." It's I don't care anymore. I am no longer going to care. That's you make a statement to yourself and you say, "I don't care." When you know someone comes up, hey Ron, I had a wonderful day yesterday. Let me tell you about it. I don't care. You can tell me about it if you want, but I don't care. And it's the ability and the freedom to say that, to actually say to yourself, I had a certain number of brain cells when I was younger. They've been slowly deteriorating day by day. I'm still operating well, but I gotta protect the brain cells that I have. So no more information. Thank you very much. And I'm going to have to reject anything you tell me at this point because I just don't care. Now, there are certain things that you should care about, like the next presidential election. But other things that you just tolerated because you thought you really should, it's time to let them go. It's time to make choices. You don't have that much room up there anymore. It's like a parking garage. All the spaces are taken now. We don't have a slot for you. It's nice that you're giving me all this information, but to be honest with you, I got no place to put it. I got no place to put this information that you're giving me. And that's your mental retirement. Some people, when they retire, they play golf. You know, they walk around in pastel-colored clothing that doesn't match. They wear stripes and plaids at the same time, and one's pink and one's banana colored. It's like really like, I don't know, when you retire, all of a sudden you lose all sense of wardrobe. You just you wear your pants up to your tits. What do they call that on men? Breasts? What do they call that stuff? You wear your pants up to here. And it wasn't up to there before, but now it is. And that's the way you dress all of a sudden. Some people actually wear suspenders. Okay. I mean, what are we admitting when we start wearing suspenders? I can't keep my pants up anymore. That's nothing. That's nothing to tell other people. It's not their business, and it doesn't look right. So, yeah, this is what happens. Men, they start dressing in these pastel colors, and it's like it's mental retirement. It's like, I don't care what I look. I have spent all of my life wearing three-piece suits. And by the way, people don't wear three-piece suits anymore. Just two. Three is like overkill. Spent all my life wearing a suit and tie and dressing up and looking good for the man. And now I'm going into mental retirement. I'm going to dress the opposite. I'm going to dress as if I don't know what the hell I'm doing here because I just don't care anymore. And if somebody looks at me and stares at me like, why is that guy wearing pink striped pants? Is he a clown? You say, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care anymore. I just don't care. It's like, you know, when you play golf. It should be a large form of entertainment and exercise. You hit the ball with the stick, the club, I think they call it. And then you're supposed to walk to it and then hit it and walk more. And you get a lot of walking because it's a big area. You know, you're walking acres and acres there and you're just hitting a stick and a ball. Should be great exercise. Is it? No, because these people are in mental retirement. So they hit the ball with the club. And instead of walking to the ball where they hit it to, they get in their little golf cart, their little motorized motorcycle thing, and they drive to the ball. Could you be lazier if you tried?
Well, yes, I could. I could dress like I don't care.
You do that too. Golf is funny. I remember when I was younger, I played golf with John Shanahan, the person I just mentioned, the comedy writer for my radio show and announcer. And he was he played at Strawberry Hill Country Club, I think it was called. I think it's called Strawberry Hill or something, in Whitman, Massachusetts. Are you familiar with Whitman? It's a nice little place. So he said, Ron, let's play a round of golf. I said, I don't know what round means. He says, we'll play nine holes. I still don't understand. I'm fine. And he said, bring your clubs. And I didn't have clubs. All I had a putter, a 9-iron, and a driver. And I didn't even know if the driver would be necessary because I would drive myself there. So basically, all I had in my hands were the 9-iron,
and the putter. And with those two things, I should be able to play a small nine-hole golf course. I had no golf bag, so what I did, I'm very embarrassed about this, by the way. Thinking back on it, this was very embarrassing. I didn't have a golf bag. So what I did was I took the cover to a large umbrella. You know, they have these little things you put on top, you know, the cover of that thing. And I put the golf clubs in there. They didn't fit completely, but the club part was, you know, in the little nylon umbrella bag. I looked so stupid. And then I put on what I thought were golf clothes, which were sneakers, rundown jeans, and a t-shirt. And that was it, man. I thought, okay, that should work. And I grabbed my little umbrella cover with the two clubs in it, threw a couple of balls in my pocket, which people thought I always had done. put in some extra balls, let's say. And I went to this golf club place, and I met John in the parking lot, and John was dressed as if he played golf. Tastefully, he had a bag with clubs in it, and I show up with my umbrella cover with two clubs in it and a couple of balls. And he looked at me and he said, are you kidding me? They're not going to let you in like that. And I said, well, let's walk in quickly then so nobody sees us. And we did. And we started playing golf. A lot of people were staring at me and I didn't know why. I thought, oh, maybe these people know me from the radio show and the television show. So, oh, okay, okay. But I don't think that's why they were staring at me. So we started playing golf, and I wasn't too bad, although I heard the phrase, you can just play through. We said that a lot to the other players. And we played, and we went into the little lake and the pond and got our feet wet getting the balls and that kind of thing. And we had a great time, but it was a club because I felt totally out of place. I felt like this is a club of people and I am an outsider. I'm dressing like one. I have clubs like one. I'm playing like one. I am one. I'm an outsider. We got to, I believe it was the fourth hole, the fourth tee, about 6 hours later. There was a little contraption on the side. There was a wooden stake coming out of the ground. And there was like a little silver cup that was drilled onto this wooden stake coming out of the ground. And then there was a sign on the top of it that said, wash your balls here. And I guess where I went wrong was when I dropped my pants and John said, no, 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 that's not what that means. I said, oh, okay. I'm sorry. And that's why I didn't do stand-up comedy anymore. That was enough. That was my golf experience. I don't think I've played golf since. And when I do retire completely, I don't think I'm going to do that. It's probably a lot more expensive than back then when I did this, which is a good 15 years ago, at least, which is amazing because I'm only 16 years old. But I am now in mental retirement. I feel at my age that I don't need to put up with anything anymore. There are certain things I have to do to survive and all that. And I have to make money a little bit, and I have to put up with the absurdities of life. Total absurdities of life. If I had arrived here just now from another planet and I landed here and watched what was going on, especially in this country, I would probably say, get me back on the ship. Let's get the hell out of here. If I were a visiting alien from another planet, not from Mexico, but from another planet, and I landed here, I would go back to my planet and I would tell everybody, Ron, how Ron, how was your vacation on Earth? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Don't go there. It is not a good place to be. It is a society of people that are only out to destroy themselves. They hate each other, and they're trying to kill each other and make the other one look bad so that they all look bad. They're a bunch of idiots. You kidding me? The planet Earth, that beautiful planet? Well, it ain't so beautiful anymore. They're knocking down all the trees and all. They had trees? Yeah, they had them, but they're knocking them down and they're putting up these structures that don't do anything. And the people are walking around like in a daze, like they're in a cult or something. They don't even know what's up and what's down. They have no idea what's real and what isn't. They have no idea what's true and what's false. They're a bunch of idiots. They fall for that? Oh, big time. Not only do they fall for that kind of crap, they live and breathe it. Are you kidding me? No, don't go to that planet. You'll never get out. Oh, man, they're crazy down there. And they eat the strangest food. Really? They got these places with golden arches. Looks like that, what we saw in the brochure, looks like St. Louis, but it's not. They're all over the place. Wow, what do? They dispense food. And when people eat the food, they end up sitting on the toilet for hours. Why do they eat that? I don't know. That's the point. They're crazy. Wow. Wow. But isn't it a beautiful planet? It sure looks like it from here. Well, yeah. But then when you get a little bit closer, when you break the atmosphere, you see all these people fighting each other and dropping bombs on each other. They watch people like starving and they persecute them and they do. What are they doing that for? I don't know. I just don't know. Don't go there. Besides, the room tax on the hotels are ridiculous. Okay, I'm not going there. Don't go to another planet. What other planets do they have in that solar system? That's the point. They don't have any others. They're destroying the one that they're on with no options to get off of it. Well, they are idiotic, aren't they? Yes, they are. See, I'm playing both parts. I'm playing the part of the alien from the other planet and the friend of the alien on the other planet discussing his trip to Earth and coming back. I played both parts. I hope you were able to detect that. Yeah. And I did it all sitting down because I'm in mental retirement. Okay. Fine. Whatever. My favorite word. Whatever. You have to say it like you're like from California, from the valley, because it gives that extra little twist to it that makes it real. Hey, Ron, you want to go have lunch? Oh, whatever. So, I mean, what does that mean? Are you want to go or not? Whatever. So, yeah, whatever. You don't want to go? Fine, I won't go either. Whatever. Well, that's annoying. Whatever. It's the only word I really need to say anymore. You know. Ron, you want to go play golf? Whatever. You're going to wear your jeans and t-shirt? Whatever. I love it. I was recently, saw this article about the, it's a horrible subject. I'm talking about suicide, people taking their lives. Some occupations do so much more than other occupations, and I found that fascinating. I found that the highest suicide rates in a profession, the winner is, sounds like the Academy Awards, the winner is doctors. In the medical field, family physicians, OBGYN, OTOLOP. Why don't they just stop at OBGYN? Why don't they why don't they spell the rest of the word out? I mean, as long as we're spelling things, let's go for the whole word. Psychiatrists, they have a high suicide rate. That makes sense. When you're in healthcare and you're dealing with people that are not dealable sometimes, that can be rather frustrating and give you a low opinion of the human race, such as I have exhibited here recently. Yeah, those are the highest. Also, people in construction for some reason. I don't know why that would be. The high suicide rate. Farming and fishing. People in the repair business. I don't understand why that would cause you some type of mental angst. I don't get that. Arts and entertainment, sports and the media. And I think the reason for that is because you have to be knowledgeable of everything going on in the world in order to do arts and entertainment. Sports, you have to know all the statistics and you get really into it and then you get sad and you get very critical and the media presents it all. So I get that too. Farming and fishing? What? That's high suicide rate? What could be more relaxing than fishing? Unless you're, in the ocean, that can be kind of challenging. I can't see sitting in a boat with a fishing line going, you know what? I'm going to kill myself. If I don't catch one more fish, I swear. Farmers? I thought you were communing with nature and you had a wonderful life of living off of the earth. What would make you depressed doing that? Is it the corn? I don't get it. What's the problem there? I mean, I'm not being totally serious, otherwise that would be ridiculous. Here's the highest suicide rate by a country. You ready? No, it's not here. It's not on your street. Highest suicide rate by country? Lithuania. Okay. I don't know why that would be. Korea, also a high suicide rate. Which one? Which Korea are we talking about here? The lowest suicide rate, which is where we should all want to live, would be Australia. I don't know about that either. And Sweden. And Sweden. Very low. They have the lowest suicide rate, Sweden. I guess they're so laid back that they don't... I think they have mental retirement, all of them. They've retired mentally. I'm not going to get concerned or get crazy or about anything. I'm going to remain calm and laid back, and that's what they are in Sweden. Are you Swedish? Yeah, fine. Thank you. Whatever. Yeah, I'm going into mental retirement. I am training my brain to take it down a notch. And if someone tells me their baggage and their problems, such as they would to a psychologist or a psychiatrist, I would just sit back and say, look, there are other people that can handle that kind of thing right now. I'm not available to listen to you about that, because I'm in mental retirement. And if you tell me your problems, I will answer in one way or another. Either I will go, to make it sound like I'm listening, but I'm just saying, I'm not listening at all. I'm in my brain. I'm taking a bath with candles and soft music. I'm not listening to you. Or I will say the proverbial mental retirement mantra, whatever. I'm out of time for today. I'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Until then, listen to me on my weekday podcast and syndicated radio. You can Google The Ron Van Dam Show or go to newenglandbroadcasting.com. I wish you peace.